טוב, עכשיו כולם מסתכלים.
Okay, now everyone look at me. All right, everyone.
אני אומר משפט אחד.
I say one sentence from the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, and you continue it. Okay? Raise your hand and quickly. The reason for the creation of reality is
to do good to his creatures.
To do good to his creations. Now, dvikud, adhesion is not the reason, it's a means. Although you could put it this way too. All right. So, to do good to his creations, this is what's written. As a result of it, what do we get? Well, will to receive. Okay. What happens with the will to receive as soon as it comes out? What do you mean, tzimtzum? What's tzimtzum? The will to receive comes out with the light together, right? This bchina, discernment, is called what? Shoresh, root. What is bchina aleph, the first discernment, discernment number one? When the will to receive feels that it is filled with light, then it's called bchina aleph. The result of it is, well, bchina bet, the second discernment, of course, it is. But what happens? Not the tzimtzum, what's with you?
The feeling of the giver.
The feeling of the giver, very well. Within bchina aleph, stage one, the feeling of the giver is formed. What does it cause?
Bchina aleph. Desire to bestow.
I can't hear anything from there. Nothing's coming out. Moti, what's up? What's with you? Why are you saying like this? I understand you're okay. You know, coffee and rest. Fine. Okay. So what does Bchina Aleph, phase one, want? To bestow like the light. What does it bring it to? Hmm? It doesn't push the light away. It doesn't have the strength to push the light away. You need to understand it's just one interchanging with the other. To remove the light, you have to feel that the light is not for its favor. It has to get rid of it. It hates it. In spirituality, it's not like you can just throw it out. It's all feelings. So what happens?
Desire to bestow.
The will to bestow like the emanator, right? As a result of it, a new discernment arises, a new prina, which is prina bet, phase two. What is phase two? Prina bet. It's the same will to receive, which is filled with what?
Light of chasadim.
Light of chasadim. So is it a desire to bestow or to receive? Desire to receive, for sure. So, how is there a light to a desire to bestow within the desire to receive? Both. Okay, make up your mind. It doesn't bestow upon anyone. Bchina bet, phase two, doesn't bestow upon anyone. He just wants to resemble the light that is in it in Prina Aleph, in phase one, right? Okay. So, who changes? Can light change in Prina Aleph without the desire changing? The desire feels the light, right? So what changes first? The desire or the light? The desire. When the desire at the end of phase one changes into a desire to bestow, to resemble something, to resemble the emanator, and then the light in it, accordingly, the pleasure it feels, are also called a light of bestowal, light of chasadim, right? As a result of it, what do we have in Bchina Bet, which is entirely a desire to bestow, and the light in it is a pleasure from bestowal. What happens?
She says she can't bestow.
There's no one to bestow upon, right? And what to bestow?
To who?
Right. So it's got a very big problem. So how does it feel? It wants to return to the root.
No.
Well, I can't hear you. What's with you?
She wants to find a way to bestow like the upper.
It wants to be like the upper one. From what can it take an example? From Prinat Shorosh, from the root phase. But is there a desire to bestow in the root phase? Yes. But in Prinat Bet, in phase two, there's also a desire to bestow. But in Prinat Bet, there is no light of Chokhmah like in the giver. So what should it do? Therefore, it should divide into two parts. It should extend into it a desire to receive, so it'll have light of Chokhmah. And in the light of Chokhmah and the light of Chassadim that it has in it, it builds Prinat Gimel, phase three. Right? What is Prinat Gimel then called, phase three? Zaran Pina, it's just a word. Is it a desire to receive or to bestow? What is it? To receive in order to bestow. Wow. Immediately.
Immediately, but there's understanding. That's the only thing that she can give.
Prina Gimel, phase 3, doesn't want to give anything to the upper one. Is Prina Gimel a desire to receive or to bestow? Here they say, will to receive. And there? Who's more? Can't hear you, Shlomo. Light of Chassadim and illumination of Chokhmah. Fine. So what Bina, Prina Bet, builds is a desire to receive. In the example of, following the example of Prina Chorosh, the root phase, this is why we get Prina Gimel, phase 3. Fine. And at the end of Prina Gimel, what does it decide? What does it think? What does it feel? Is it a will to receive or a will to bestow? Will to receive. So what does it need that makes it develop further? That should be the end of it. What shame? From where would it feel shame? Does it want anything for itself? What can it be ashamed of? You can be ashamed of something you did and discovered it was incorrect or not good. But Prina Gimel, which emerges from Prina Bet completely, what does it have to be ashamed of? Like all the previous Prinot, they have no shame, they have nothing. They just change in the discernments between them. Necessarily. So what does Prina Gimel feel at its end? Yearning for what? For the light of Chokhmah. Can you hear it? At the end, Prina Gimel, phase 3, what does it want? All the light of Chokhmah that was in Prina Aleph, in phase 1. Prina Aleph received all the light of Chokhmah from the root phase. Prina Bet engendered Prina Gimel, but didn't give it all the light of Chokhmah. This is why Prina Gimel feels deficiency of light of Chokhmah. And then it extends it, right? Meaning it extends its own will to receive, to an extent. It feels what exists in the previous prinot, discernment or phases, because in every prinah you have all the previous prinot. In prinah aleph you have prinah chorosh. In prinah bet you have prinah aleph and chorosh. In gimel you have bet and aleph and chorosh. Two and one and root. So in prinah gimel it feels the big will to receive. And in this big will to receive, it receives the light of Chokhmah. And this is why the shame is revealed in it. Why? Because it extended it by itself. The light, the will to receive with the light of Chochmah, and then it fills the gap between itself and the emanator. And that feeling is called shame. Okay? This is why it has to make a tzimtzum, the restriction. Because this state never happened before. It feels its oppositeness from the emanator. Precisely because you drew the light beyond what you received. Yes.
Can you maybe just do some order in the state? It's like we started to do an emotional state here, and Knagimit is not clear to me.
It feels it is deficient of light of Chochmah in order to be a true receiver. The way Bchina Aleph received from Bchina Tzoresh, you have root 1 and then 2, 3. They are similar. Giver, receiver, and here too, giver, receiver.
But isn't that feeling already in the end of Bchina Bet? That she's missing? That she doesn't ever have, she doesn't have what to bestow?
No, at the end of Bchina Bet, it feels, I bestow. What can I bestow? To whom can I bestow? I have no one to bestow upon. So I need to engender, generate Bchina Gimel. It generates Bchina Gimel. Just like the root phase generated Bchina Aleph and filled it with light of Chochmah, Bchina Bet, which is just like Bchina Shorash, feels it needs to generate Bchina Gimel and fill it.
So,
there's something that I'm not gripping here. In Bet, that same desire to receive, it feels that it wants to be like the emanator.
The phase two, Bchina Bet, is not a will to receive. It's a desire to bestow that comes on top of the will to receive in Bchina Aleph. It's a development.
Okay, but in Bchina Bet, there's a certain split. There's a recognition of that kli, of the will to receive, that wants to be like the emanator.
Yes, this is why it has a problem. It can't build Bchina Gimel the way the root built Bchina Aleph.
Right, so that's what I don't understand. That I said it was the same thing. Bchina Bet doesn't have what to bestow or what to give.
Wait a minute. It passes light of Chochmah to Bchina Gimel. It passes.
How?
How?
She's completely opposite. She's Chasadim.
No. It's got light of Chochmah inside of it. Nothing is lost or disappears. And besides, it is impossible for light of Chasadim to exist without light of Chochmah. Bchina Bet is a will to receive that is acting as if it is desire to bestow.
That's very clear. And then what happens in Bchina Gimel?
And then it has a will to receive. And on top of the will to receive, Bchina Bet says, I want to bestow. This is the quality of Bina. Now, it received the will to bestow according to its will. So it says, now, how do I express the will to bestow? By generating the will to receive by myself, like the Creator. Bchina Bet is like the Creator. Now I'm generating the created being. It will be called Zeranpin. My little one. But when Zeranpin is born and receives light of Chasadim and illumination of Chochmah, then the will to receive in it says it needs to receive all the light of Chochmah, and then it extends it, it draws it, and receives. When it receives all the light of Chochmah, it says, I received, I got it. I had a tiny bit of light of Chochmah from Ima. Now I received everything. I received. I'm opposite from the emanator, from the root. I can't stand myself. I cannot stand myself that I decided, that I drew it, and then it makes it in tzum. And then after the Tzimtzum, but how can I give back? How can I do something? Only if I give back to the emanator everything. Because if I don't receive, it doesn't solve anything. I'm in this will, big will to receive, and I have to receive, but in order to bestow, I have no other way. Really, here at the end of Prina Dalet, after all the Prinot, you need to go over it, talk about it, and get mixed up about it, never mind. But understand that this is how it happens. And there's no other way. So we've come to a certain state, and now it has no choice. It makes it seem so, it restricts. It says, from now on, I don't receive anything. I'm burning with shame. I prefer to die. Then, if I'm not in equivalence of form with the emanator. It attained that there is nothing more important than to be similar to the emanator, meaning to bring him contentment. There are many questions here. What does it mean to resemble? What does it mean to bring contentment? Is there a difference between these things or not? But this will come later. And so it makes it tzimtzum. What?
So what pushes Pchina Bet to give birth to Pchina Gimel, if not the shame from the difference?
It's got no shame, no will to receive.
So what drives her that difference?
That it is similar to Pchina Shosh. And Shosh generated Pchina Aleph.
But that's done automatically, just in Malchut it's a similar thing and she feels shame?
Yes, but in Malchut it's not automatic. Because Pchina Gimel decided to draw a light of Chokhmah by itself.
Herself.
It's another desire.
But what place of Malchut, in Bina of Malchut, does she feel that?
This I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. You are too smart. Be careful from asking what you shouldn't be asking. Bina resembling Malchut. Okay, clear thus far? Okay, so what is the Tzimtzum on exactly? What is being restricted? Not to receive, because she receives later, not to bestow, but she wants to bestow. So on what is the Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction?
Intention?
And what is the restriction? What am I restricting? A moment later, I begin to receive. So what did I restrict?
Receiving or not receiving? The intention to receive for myself.
Intention to receive for himself. Right. Nothing to say. Correct. Next. Cohen, what's up?
I'm sorry, but I didn't hear the explanation why the shame can't happen in Zeranpin.
Zeranpin doesn't do anything. It performs a compulsory act. It generates malchut. In generating malchut, it extends the will to receive as it was in Pchina Aleph. What Zeranpin is missing, this is what it extends. So it feels the deficiency and it extends it. The result of this chisaron appearing in Malchut is a result of Zeranpin, and it is filled with all the light that there is and feels in this light that it is the receiver that it wants. In it, the desire comes before the filling. You understand it? The desire in Malchut comes before the filling up in Malchut. And this is why it feels that it wants. And then the filling comes according to its will. And this is why this act is written on its name. It drew the light. And in this, and because of it, in this light that fills it, it feels its oppositeness from the emanator.
Zerampin discovers that she cannot receive all the Chochmah without something below.
Zerampin ends with what Bina does. Where Bina's desire ends, which realizes itself, and with the birth of Zerampin, this is the end of Zerampin. This completes Zerampin. Except it has a desire in addition to add an additional desire, just as there is between itself and B'china Aleph. And this it does, and what we get is Malchut. Yes. The thing about the desire in Malchut is that it decides, and it feels that it wants, and it didn't exist anywhere else. This is why everything ended with Malchut, with the fourth phase. Otherwise, we'd continue with more phases. Why did everything end with Malchut? Because we've come to a desire where the Kli has its own desire.
Zerampin is the desire to receive for another?
No. It receives as much as it wants. And discovers it's not enough. And generates Malchut. Every new discernment. Why is it new? Because the desire in it is different from the previous one. This is why it's called a new discernment, a new b'china.
So, the discovery of pleasure inside the act of bestowal is discovered in Zerampin?
Zerampin doesn't show any act of bestowal. It doesn't bestow anything. It's a result of Bina. It is called small. It doesn't bestow upon anything or anyone. It just exists in order to feel that it wants to grow. And the example for it to grow is B'china Aleph, Chochmah. This is why it grows bigger in this way. And this is called Malchut already.
He wants to be bigger in order to give to Bina because he feels
not to give anything in return. There is still no such thing.
Because he feels pressure or what?
No. He just wants to resemble its father. B'china Aleph.
Why does Malchut extend from Zerampin? I'm still not, something's missing for me.
Malchut is an addition to Zerampin because Zerampin feels that in itself the way its mother generated it. It is lacking, but is deficient. But the minute it feels that it's deficient, this is the beginning of Malchut already. And then Zerampin generates Malchut, meaning it draws the desire that exists in B'china Aleph, adds it to itself, and this creates Malchut. In these four phases, there is nothing that returns to the emanator. It all emanates from one degree to the next in a compulsory manner. What exists in every state is enough. It doesn't need to go up or down or do anything. Everything, in each degree, there are all the degrees.
Before the restriction and the masach, Zerampin doesn't operate like Ima.
No.
But afterwards,
he just wants to extend more will to receive.
before and after the Masach?
There is no Masach. There is no Tzimtzum. There is nothing. Don't you get it? Zaranpin is small. Now it wants to extend the desire that exists in Bchina Aleph. It wants to have everything. That's it. And then it draws it. This is called Malchut, Bchina Dalet. There is no Tzimtzum, no Masach. There is nothing. Yes?
The shame happens in Malchut because Malchut feels the difference, the gap.
That it drew, the desire in it came first and then the light. This is why it feels I want and I'm pulling the light. And this makes me opposite from the host who gives and I am the receiver. And then the difference between the will to receive that it received from Bina, like Zeranpin, and the will to receive that it developed, exposed in itself, there's a big difference. The will to receive it received from Bina, from Zeranpin, is a will to receive that is called small. In Katnut, smallness. We learn it. Avyut, Shoesh, one and even two. Sum of two is light of chasadim. What do you mean light of chasadim? Does it give? It doesn't give. It's got a will to receive. But it's not a will to receive that detaches it. Now you can understand. It doesn't detach it from the emanator. Can you all hear it? And only in Zeranpin, at its end, when it decides it wants to grow. And in Malchut, do we have a will to receive of its own decision, of the emanated being's decision to be in that full desire in order to receive what comes from the giver. This is why these b'chinot are b'chinot of light of Chochmah. And on them, mainly, there is the Tzimtzum. And on them, mainly, there is the Masach. Katnut is Katnut. You can obtain it. But Gadlut, to receive in order to bestow, this is a lot of work.
After Tzimtzum Aleph, what is the act of Zeranpin? Do the kilim turn oppositely? In a different direction?
After Tzimtzum Aleph, does Zeranpin simply turn in the other direction?
What do you mean turn?
It's just empty the whole time. Chofetz Chesed is in Zeranpin? I thought that
it was in Bina that the Chesed is in.
Wait, that's enough.
Thank you.
Let's continue. Take it easy. So it's clear, right? Until Tzimtzum Aleph, it's clear, right? Good. Yes. But each one thinks several times before you're asking.
In Malchut, it's not clear if it only has the desire to receive. Why is she ashamed at the end if she
has got a will to receive preceding the reception of the light, meaning a will to receive that comes from itself and not from above, from within it. It decided to receive, and when it receives, it feels in a light that fills it pleasure from reception and the relation of the emanator. There is still no prohibition on receiving. It is filled with all the light. It is called Malchut Ein Sof, Malchut of the Infinite.
Is that the quality of the light, the field that she's opposite from the emanator?
Yes, of course. It feels pleasure, and in the pleasure it feels how its nature of reception is opposite from the light which is entirely bestow, from the emanator.
That's something new then, isn't it?
Yeah, that never happened. And now it begins to feel how the emanator, how much higher and more sublime is the emanator from itself. it only bestows and it, and she only receives and draws the will to receive, and the filling it, it also drew. And then she's completely opposite from it, from him. The gap between the receiver and the giver, between the high and the low, between the will to with the will to receive. So it is felt for the first time as a huge flaw. It's the flaw of the ego, although it's not real ego yet, but this is the flaw. The will to receive, to enjoy, completely erases all the pleasure from reception of the light. And by performing the tzimtzum, the restriction, it's not enough for it. It doesn't equalize it with the emanator. It doesn't cover what it receives from it. So now it must come to equivalence of form with it. So he will receive from her what she feels that she's receiving from him. She feels it now. She has a reshimo from the infinite feeling of what he wanted. With he completely filled her or it with love. So now, after the tzimtzum, she has to begin to work. And now that she's working, it's not the filling that is important, but the relationship. The relation, because the gap between them is what's important. Because if the gap hadn't been revealed, which is called the shame, that he loves her and she loves herself and the filling in her. If the gap hadn't been revealed, if she received, she received. If she didn't, she didn't. It's how he created her. But the relation was revealed. So the tzimtzum doesn't end it, but rather the building of the masachim does, until she receives in order to bestow all the light of Ein Sof, returns to the to Malchut Ein Sof with the complete masach, the big masach, and we have the end of correction. All right? So now, what happens after the tzimtzum, the restriction, and the masach? What happens next? What act? What back? Fine, the pleasure goes back. Yes, then what? Who's saying something?
Calculation,
right. What calculation? The one we spoke about now. That she has to return the Creator's relation to him. Not return the light or the desire, but the relation, right? This is what caused the shame. This is what caused the tzimtzum. She can receive as much as she wants. We said that the tzimtzum is not on the receiver. The tzimtzum is on the intention. If her intention that she only wants to receive had not been revealed to her, she wouldn't have done the tzimtzum. The kli would continue to receive. And then, after the decision, that she must work only in equivalence of form in order to bestow, to receive from him as much as she can, as much help as she can, in order to build a masach, to receive as much light as possible in order to bestow, right? And by this, she gives back with little portions, in little bits, as much as she can. She gives back to the host his relation, not quantities of light or desires, but the relation, the attitude. All right?
Rav, what is this relation? We know there's only light and glee. What is this relation, this attitude?
The relation is what the Masach does and the Ochozo. What does she do? It doesn't matter if she receives or bestows. She wants to give back to the host the same relation as the host has shown her.
the host disclosed towards her light, filling.
No, the light and the filling are not a problem. She receives light and filling after the tzimtzum now as well, if need be. No problem. What is the difference? What's the difference between receiving after the tzimtzum and before the tzimtzum? What is the difference? Do I receive after the tzimtzum? I do. So what's the difference? In other words, the tzimtzum doesn't bother me, but it's according to a calculation of how much I can give to the host, meaning the relation to the host determines what I do after the tzimtzum, even before the tzimtzum. After I felt the filling in all of my kli, especially in desires, that I added from Bchina Gimel to Bchina Dalet, I collected these desires. I received the filling in these desires. What pleasures, what wealth. And suddenly I feel the relation of the host, and it spoils everything to me. I feel how lovingly he gives it to me. And this relation completely detaches me. It just erases me. Erases myself, my pride, my pleasure, everything. It just, here the Creator really fails the created being. This is why the tzimtzum is on the relation of the Creator to the creature. If I decide, that from this moment on, that I will act only the way I felt that the host is relating to me. And as much as I feel that the host is doing toward me, I do it now. Tzimtzum, tzimtzum, chasadim, chasadim, chokhmah, chokhmah. As much as I can in every state to give back to him. Meaning I constantly look at him, how much I can do for his sake. This is what Malchut the Ein Sof decides, and until she completes it, she's constantly thinking only about this and working toward this. When she finishes, it's called the end of correction. That's it. That's the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Meaning it's the whole point is about giving back to the host what she felt. This is why the tzimtzum is on the intention that with the aim to receive for myself, I will never work. That my intention has to be only in order to bestow. And I'm looking only at this. That's it. This is called Masach or Chozer, and all the actions. There are no other actions on the part of the creature except for this. Like the host, the example of that the host gave us. The Baruch Sulam gave us the example about the guest and the host. Yes, Leo.
Where is there intention after the four phases of direct light that can be restricted?
I don't restrict the intention.
That's what we said now, no?
I act according to the intention.
Where is there an intention after four phases of direct light? We didn't talk about such a thing. There's just desire.
There's a desire, and the desire is restricted. It restricts itself. Yes. And after it restricts itself, it feels in its empty desire what it obtained. So you tell me, what did it obtain in the empty will to receive? It only obtained detachment from the host. The relation of the host to it, it cannot stop it. It also can't stop the light that is in the desire, because he received it. There is no absence in spirituality. Now, it cannot enjoy the host's relation to it because he discovered he has the opposite relation. And this burns him. I'll give you an example, simple one. Let's say there's someone you hate, like me, for example. And suddenly you discover that I brought you a gift that you've been dreaming of your whole life. You receive this gift, and then you discover it was for me. Now tell me, how are you feeling? You don't know what to do. You're exploding. It's not like you have no pleasure. You who do have pleasure, and you can't get rid of it. It's so important. It's not just any gift. It's something you wanted your whole life, on the one hand. On the other hand, within this pleasure, you get someone you hate so much you don't know what to do with him. What are you going to do? It's a problem. This is what Malchut Einsof probably, feels in the filling. Now, when she restricts herself, there's a question here. What's the motivation for the restriction? Is it because it feels that it doesn't deserve the filling? Or does she feel the Creator in oppositeness of form from her? Or does she feel herself opposite in form from the Creator? She feels that if she continues to receive from Him, because she's opposite from Him, there will be hatred between them. Hatred as much as all the love, and even more. There are many things here that it's clear that in Malchut Einsof there is a development of our own four phases. But what she decides in the end is that I pay no attention to the will to receive or to the light, how much I receive of it, but the similarity. Now I have to gradually grow closer to a state where I get closer to Him, and then I touch Him, and then I embrace Him, and then I really become included in Him all the way. And she does it despite the great initial hatred that was revealed, the rejection, the oppositeness of form. Meaning, there is plus and minus and what connects them, which is only the Masach and the Tzimtzum and the Ol Chozor. It's a big drama. Yes?
It's a little strange what you're saying about Malchut Einsof, because it's written there that there was amazing unity and adhesion, and Him and His name is one.
Yes.
How do they both exist? Him and His name is one, and hatred and shame.
You tell me. So how does the Tzimtzum happen? It says it's the gravest thing. So how did she do it?
It's like there's still two things that exist there.
It's explained. I'll tell you what's written. All the dvikut and unity were on the name of the upper one. That's what it says. Find him the place. Find where it's written, if you remember. On the name of the upper one. It is by the force of the upper one that unity was done. And the lower one was like, but the minute that connection and unity were revealed, she felt how she did not work in this unity. She began to develop. And then for her, the unity was no longer unity. So the development in the steps that followed showed that you have to perform a Tzimtzum and move away from that situation. Are these things clear? Yes, but don't confuse us.
Malchut was born upon Pchina Gimel, discovering the gap between her and Pchina Aleph, feeling small compared to the father. How does Malchut serve Pchina Gimel such that she doesn't let him feel small, but actually makes him greater in her eyes?
She doesn't relate to Pchina Gimel. When she adds the will to receive, she can't relate herself to Pchina Gimel. She relates herself to Pchina Chosh, to the root. Because she's taking an example from Pchina Aleph, from phase one. Okay. Moti, are you okay? All right. Yes. Go ahead.
The matter of the restriction is not clear. What exactly is restricted there? So enter into there what he's writing there in this, that she adorns the whole thing, that the whole restriction is an adornment upon herself and not from some... There are many things that don't work out here. You can find an explanation, I can explain it to myself or to students, but to really understand what's happening there, it's not clear.
I understand you. We can speak about it for hours and years until we get there and feel. You understand it's not going to work. In spirituality, even the smallest detail happens in different kelim. And because every prina includes all the prinot before it, and then we will learn how all the prinot following it are already in that same prina. So every prina you take in the middle of the ladder or wherever contain the whole ladder from up, from above to below, and that's what determines it, its degree. I don't know how to explain it. I don't think it can be explained in all the books. Well, Ramchal, I know. The Vilna Gaon. If I didn't actually learn it, I read it. Ramchal, I said. Ramak, I really went through all the books before Bala Sulam. I don't. The scrutiny. The simple and correct scrutiny, a clear clarification that you can rely, that from Kabbalists you can rely on, we, who are not many. In them, I didn't find it. There are always more questions, and the truth is, they didn't trouble themselves with it. If I didn't understand, you didn't understand. So what? Does it stop you from working? We need to know in general the plan, the general plan of creation. Okay?
No.
Yes.
We relate to restriction and shame as a new creation. And I think that we missed something here, seemingly. As in Pchinat Dalet, for the first time, there's free choice. How do we skip over that? I don't know. It's true creation there.
It is the root of free choice, correctly, although it's all still not free choice because there's still no created being here. No created being. It is a system that acts according to laws that were determined in it. When I build a car, right? Some device. There are all kinds of systems there. And each system works according to the laws, to its laws. But it's a system. There is still no free choice here. Free choice means you can do one thing or another out of a discernment, out of a foreign discernment that doesn't exist in the system itself. There is no such thing here.
In Zeranpin, we have also the desire to receive and also to bestow, and it chooses to receive. It has choice here. It's the first time that there's choice here.
Why does it choose?
In the four pinot of straight light?
Very well, but why does it choose?
Here they're saying that there's a longing, there's a certain independent desire in her.
Is it in it?
Yes.
So why is it free?
Because she chose between two. For the first time, there was a possibility.
And if you were to choose between three or four states, if you have it, then it's no longer free choice. You chose it out of your own nature.
So when is it truly free choice?
This we will talk about. But just understand, there is still no created being yet. A created being means you're detached from the Creator. Completely detached. You can turn and ask, but you're detached. We are we're going to stop this and continue next time in the four prinots. Maybe we shouldn't continue toward Galgalta, etc. What do you think?
To continue.
One yells and the rest. So what are we going to do? What do we have? Everyone who sanctifies the seventh. Okay, so according to the article, we have another article of Rabash. Let's go over it. Now, a workshop. Everyone's sitting down, right? Where are they all going? I don't know. Okay. Now let's try to depict the development of the will to receive from Babylon until the exodus from Egypt. Go ahead. Kind of, sort of, without getting into details, into philosophizing. The will to receive that Abraham established, set up, and how it developed, not in the form of a beast, but in the form of a man, growing toward the Creator. So it grew toward the Creator until the exodus from Egypt. Go ahead.
What's being revealed in Babel is the desire to receive in the greatest form, where you're discovering this great split, where each wants to draw to himself.
They begin to connect, understand that they can't, and then they go into Egypt and continue.
I got it. Many times. Wait, before Egypt. First, it's interesting because the desire for the ego, we understand that the ego is always revealed only if we do an effort for connection. So maybe there were individual things. I mean, there's a certain attempt for a life of sharing and a simple way inside the regular will to receive, but on the foundation of that attempt, the Creator showed them that it's not enough.
Rav, how did it happen that we are speaking about Babylon? We're saying that Abraham was there and he united all the people and many people connected to it. And suddenly it says that he has 10 people, he has one child, another child with Hagar, and he has this small family. Where are the thousands that came out with him? How did they come to Yitzchak, Isaac? Isaac, Jacob, what are they? Only once, or were they tens of thousands united in tens or groups or just like that? How do we connect it to? Go ahead.
Seems to me like it's all, I mean, go understand, but it seems like it's all a quantitative depiction of an initial connection with the Creator, then overcoming the ego on a very high level of concession, which is Isaac, and then Jacob comes out and connects them, and also there's also a complete realization, like the sons. And this is what happens. There's a certain order here that happens that needs to, that's why also the going down to Egypt.
It's all states in the ten that are revealed in the ten, and we are in initial states of ancestral merit, a place where the quality of bestowal begins to awaken, our awakening toward connection and bestowal even before the revelation of the ego, which is revealed later in Egypt.
We're probably talking about the will to receive some quality that discerned what the upper force is. There was a connection and all those desires that and the environment composed, the supporters and development happened that way.
It's an inner development of a person, man's spiritual development. The right line, left line, and in the end, choosing the middle line. Jacob, who becomes Israel.
What they talk about in the stories of Abraham and Isaac and so on, these are elements. The desire that awakens in the point in the heart that awakened and wants to get closer to the Creator, to be similar to the Creator. And that's how a society is crystallized and that wants to implement it within them. And then from that, the fear that they feel that the will to receive is constantly growing and growing, and how is it possible to nevertheless be similar to the Creator upon the will to receive that's growing all the time? Yes, I think that all of that are states within Abraham's den, which is Sarah's den and Malchut, and then Isaac comes, which is the left line, who asked, "Where? How will I know that I will inherit? How could it be? Where is this big will to receive that will reveal the Creator completely?" And then Jacob was born, and so on and so forth. Is there truly states within the ten? I don't know. It's also written that he gathered thousands and tens of thousands. He moved from city to city. She taught the women. He taught the men. So I didn't understand where. Where's the clash here? How to connect between the tens of thousands that connected to Abraham and a child that was son to Abraham from Sarah and the two that were from Hagar? He did dissemination for them. Maybe there's a difference between something that's more internal or external desires that he connected to himself. I think the question is about it's for 70 souls, and Rambam writes tens of thousands. It's like it's written that 70 people came out. I don't know. It seems like I heard all the friends, several of the friends have said that it's qualitative. I'm not going to go and count heads. I don't think that we're going to find the skulls in the thousands. Who knows? That's why we're coming back once again to the process within the ten, a process of the awakening of the point in the heart, and the beginning of the cascading to it, the final state. Abraham is the intention, the connection from all the desires, and the purpose, the goal was to invert all the desires of a person to connection in order to bestow. And that's how it develops, and beginnings from the meritor desires and the pure desires to inclusions. And yes, it's the development of the desire. When Abraham asks, what is it that I shall inherit? How do I know? It's the beginning of the deficiency, the building of it. Sons are what we beget. It's all the work itself is in the society. Our entire ability to resemble the Creator and develop our point in the heart is from the work that we're trying to connect somehow. And in there, each time, new states are revealed, new understandings, new sons. And each time, this is development to Rav. Who has an answer? No one? Oh, wonderful. Okay.
What does it say in Maimonides? Yes?
In Maimonides, Strong Arm, it's written in the first portion there. Abraham began to stand and call out in a great voice to all the people. Abraham stood up and called to all the people and to announce that there is one God to all the world and it's worthy of serving him. And he would go and collect and assemble the people from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, until he came to Canaan. And he is calling, as it was said, and he called in the name of the Lord to the world in Genesis 21. And because the people were assembling upon him and asking him questions, they would all come to him until he would bring him back to the way of truth. Until thousands and tens of thousands assembled with him, and these are the people of the house of Abraham, and he planted in their heart this main essence, composed books in that, and announced it to Isaac his son, and Isaac sat teaching and bringing back, and Isaac passed it to Jacob and appointed him to teach, and he sat teaching and bringing and repenting all those who accompanied him. And Jacob taught all the sons and defined a Levi and put him as the head, put him in the seminary to teach and to keep the commandments of Abraham, and commanded his sons to not stop from the appointee, the sons of Levi, so that they will not forget their association. And this was growing in the sons of Jacob and those who accompanied them, and it became in the nation, in the world, a nation that knows the Lord.
It doesn't really explain about our situation. What, you want to read it again?
What he reads just sharpens the question, not the solution.
I'm not giving you a solution. I want you to think about it. You have 2 weeks. Okay? All right. So, we'll think about it, right? So now